Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast, the show where you get comics, pop culture, and sports, and get ready for a little comics talk, which we haven't done in a minute. I'm your host, as always, Matt Pierce, and joining me today is, it's been a while, Mike Leapock. How the heck are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, so glad to have you back. As I said, it's been a while. I cannot, for the life of me, remember the last time you were on. It's been a few years. Yeah. Anyway, glad to have you back. Good Lord. We are here today to talk about, I got to get your opinions on the come apart of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the fact that, sorry, that's the next podcast. My bad. We're here to talk X-Men 97. My God, what a show, Lee Park. Woo! Oh, man. Just when you think Disney or the MCU kind of stuff is just falling apart, they pull you back in with some good shit. Good Lord. As you can tell, I'm pretty pumped for X-Men 97. Damn good show. They're hitting everything. We're going to talk about our likes and our dislikes on this show so far. We're about 7 episodes in. Off the top, I'll just say spoiler alert for X-Men 97. If you haven't seen anything, we're going to be spoiling the F out of the first 7 episodes because we're through the first 7 and then the last. I'll probably get Leapock to come back on here and talk about 8, 9, 10, which is the big 3-part finale that they're going to be doing for this show. I could not love this more. What are your general feelings so far on X-Men 97, Mike?
Well, you know, it's been a few weeks we've been trying to schedule this podcast.
Yes, it has. Yes. So it's fallen through the cracks the last two Sundays.
You wanted it, and then you had to make a lasagna at your in-laws. I'm like, okay. And then last Sunday, we're going to do it. And then you had ants in your house.
Oh, brutal.
This Sunday, I was sitting there, and I was like, man, you know what I was really pumped to do? Is start re-watching this again with my wife, Liz. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so looking forward to watching this show. And I was like, oh, first, I'm just going to, you know, do some things. I was like, wait a minute, it's almost 8:30. I had something to do. Oh crap, I gotta go talk about this show.
Yeah. Is she all caught up too?
No. We've watched her and I've watched the first episode.
We
watched.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's it. And so I rewatched the first episode last night. I was gonna watch another like 3 or 4 tonight probably. But holy crap, this show is good. Like, I have recently rewatched all of the original X-Men, you know, 92 series.
Oh, the OG run. I think I'm in the middle of the, I started, like, basically after the first episode, or after the first 2 episodes came out, I was like, oh, man, I gotta start rewatching the old one, and I think I'm up to the Dark Phoenix saga, which is, I think, is towards the end of season 3, which,
saga is so bad.
Yeah.
So much worse than I remembered it from when I was a kid. Oh my god, rewatching that thing, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, because they don't really do the Hellfire Club very well.
I was like, these are the stupidest villains I've ever seen. Oh.
Yeah, man. They don't really, like, the Hellfire Club are pretty, they're way better in the comic books, and they, you know, they made a cameo appearance in the X-Men 97 so far, but yeah, the Dark Phoenix, I was like, well, I mean, we could get into various X-Men opinions, why not? Let's digress a little bit off the top here. I don't like the Phoenix as a character.
She's a little Mary Sue.
It's not even the Mary Sue stuff. It's that I don't like the X-Men when they go to space. I think the space stuff of X-Men, because X-Men's already a little bogged down. I mean, you're hitting it with the, because, you know, like, X-Men at its core is obviously an allegory for race relations and whatnot, and the hilarious bits online of people being like, oh my god, are they going to make the X-Men woke? And it's like, the hell are you talking about? The X-Men have been woke since the 70s, you dumb shits, right, online. So dumb. But, like, at its core, it's supposed to be an allegory for that. You know, we all know that Professor X is supposed to be Dr. King, and Magneto's supposed to be Malcolm X, and you know, they're loosely based on those two guys, obviously, despite the fact they're just white dudes in the comic books and whatnot. But you know, when you start getting into space, and it's like the Shi'ar Empire, you know, this race of anthropomorphic bird people, and the the Starjammers, right? and like yeah, Scott Summers' dad is in space, and he's banging a hot cat lady. It's like, what are we doing here, guys? Right? Like, what is this mess? This makes no sense. And then like, oh god.
Even when their space like villains show up, like the Phalanx shows up and just kind of eats the world overnight.
Yeah, it's too much, right? Like, the stakes sometimes
getting saved by the X-Men equivalent of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, there's it's so many weird ones. They just have I just don't like it's. I'll take it, but when they go to space, it's not my favorite version of the X-Men. And they get bogged down, like I said, with like time travel and shit too, right? You don't need space and time travel. Pick a lane, right? Like it's. But it, you know, that's just not how comic book works. So yeah, like, but
my favorite part of the space stuff is definitely mm-hmm. the captain of the Shi'ar Guard, whatever his name is,
the Guardian.
When he just shows up and just like wrecks everybody, like
yeah, he's basically space Superman.
When he yeets Juggernaut into the middle of the ocean, and he goes down for a season.
Yeah,
he has to spend an entire season walking back.
Yeah, he's like, well, that was embarrassing. I'm just gonna walk this one off here.
Yeah, and he's like, he's walking back and like punching sharks and stuff. Like,
yeah, it was so bad. Yeah, I mean the original run. I mean, the original run's pretty near and dear to my heart, even though like, cause they follow the comic book. I mean, the beauty that X-Men 97 is doing is they are following the crazy comic books. To a T. There's a lot of Krakoa in there. There's a lot of Claremont. It's just they're pulling from the headlines of all the best stories. Like they did Life Death, which is one of the best individual rogue stories. I don't know if they quite got there for me in this version with the stuff with her and Forge, because that stuff was like those episodes were really good, but. The Forge, her and Forge relationship, they didn't take the time with that. That felt a little quick to me in the cartoon version. Whereas in the comic book, when they do the life death story and the big reveal comes that Forge is like, yeah, I'm sort of the guy who designed the gun. Sorry, you know, like
yeah,
it hits a lot harder. Whereas in this one, you're just kind of like. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Well, that's the big thing with, like, re-watching the old series and going back to this one, is that this like, the X-Men 97 goes hard and fast.
Yes.
Like, almost every episode would be a 3-5 episode arc in the original series, for sure.
Yeah, completely agree.
Which sometimes works really well, and, you know, other times it feels like a little rushed. And, I mean, we'll get that on their own, you know, later on when we talk about the individual episodes, but holy crap, like it goes hard, but I have to say I love it because I like the pacing overall. Like I'd rather it go too fast than too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And you just be like, oh my god, why are they still here? Like
yeah. I do like the pacing of this show. They don't give you a moment to breathe in this one, which I kind of like. Good, nice lengthy episodes too. They're not too long. They're a bit longer than like your 22 minutes because most of them get up around 30. But I think if this was like 40, 45, it might be a bit too much. But yeah, just really, really like the pacing. And they don't. It's kind of crazy that they've advertised it as X-Men 97. You really needed to watch the original run in order to. Get it. Where do you hold the original X-Men 97 run on your all-time pantheon? Because for me, it's right there. It's probably a tier below Batman the Animated Series, but it's right there for me.
Yeah, it's got to be up there in terms of like my child. Like X-Men was definitely my thing when I was a kid. Like that was mm-hmm. what I looked forward to the most on Saturday morning was watching that show, and. It was, and I was like intrigued by the political aspect, that the race relations, all that kind of stuff, all the time travel things were really fantastic. Again, yeah, I'm with you. Space could leave it out. I didn't really care that much. But rewatching it, it's so funny because I'm like, oh man, some of this stuff is really good. And I'm like, oh my god, some of these episodes are fucking terrible. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do it. Whereas, yeah, like I have rewatched a good chunk of the Batman animated series, and it's probably more consistent.
Yeah.
than X-Men, but it's like X-Men has bigger highs and way bigger lows.
Yeah. The thing that they did that really captured the, like, if they were trying to make it feel like a 90s show, I think one of the things that really makes it feel like the old animated show from 92 was, because it's a cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon, certain villains will just have bad expositional dialogue where they're, you know, explaining stuff to the kids. And I'm like, all right, because like, one of my favorite episodes of, and this is just an example of how bad the dialogue kind of was sometimes in the original run. And this is just how they did cartoons in the back. I'm not taking the task on this, because this is one of my, like, things that I love about the show, about old cartoons like that, which is they always felt they needed to hold the hand of their audience pretty fiercely, right? So like, X-Men 97 does it, but one of my favorite episodes of the original run is the first episode when they go to Genosha and Jubilee, or Jubilee, Storm, and Gambit are all trapped on Genosha, and they're, you know, forcing them into slavery, right? And I think that's where Cable first shows up. It's really good. But there's a line of dialogue by one of the guards where he's basically explaining how the mutant, you know, like, how the collar suppression or the power suppression collars work, Leapok. And I might butcher it a little bit, but this is almost exactly what the guy says. He goes something like, okay, the collars that suppress your mutant powers will be turned off, so you can use your powers while you work. If you try to remove your collar, it will explode and destroy you. And that's like, I swear to God, that's like word for word what the guy said. And every time he says that, I crack up and I'm like, okay, now we know how these collars work, right? Yeah. It's just like, we have dialogue. Like, there's some dialogue like that in this one where they're like with Nathaniel Summers gets hit with a thing, and they're like, oh my God, he's got a technovirus in him. It's way beyond our medical expertise. We gotta send him into the future to save him and stuff. Like, you know, they'll say garbage like that, and I'm just like, yes,
like, really?
Yes.
You've been diagnosing him for all of 8 seconds, yeah. And that's your final like decision. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, there's some like really classic bad dialogue in the in the first run. Like, one of my favorite lines that rewatching it, I fucking died. I just cracked up like crazy. Is the arc where there's the mutant who can go through time, goes back in time and assassinates Professor
Fitzroy, right? Fitzroy. Yeah.
So Fitzroy needs to absorb, like, you know, before going back, he needs to absorb a mutant's powers to use his power. And so he's like, you know what I need? And Master Mold's like, you know, so-and-so, come here. And then he goes and absorbs the powers out of this mutant. She collapses. And then he's like, he says, she'll be okay in a day or two. And Master Mold's just like, whatever. Yeah. like she's collapsed over, passed out. And you just know he's not going to do anything. He's just left her there. So I don't care.
Master Mold had some bad moments. Like, the Sentinels had some, like, get-it-together moments in the original run. Like, that same Genosha episode that I was telling you about has the moment where, like, Master Mold tries to get away, but he's like, I am still... Yeah, exactly. I am still playing. It's like, Master Mold, buddy, come on. You can't, like...
He tries to walk away, and he looks back, and he's like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, no, I'm still plugged in. And then there's just big tidal wave just takes him out, and it's like, Master Mold, bruh, like, come on.
The opening of one of my favorite Venture Brothers episodes, the one where the Trial of the Monarch.
Oh, so good.
And Hank and Dean are talking about the, you know, how it played out in their minds. And there's that giant, like, stone creature who shows up in, like, this whole Indiana Jones thing. And then, you know, Brock throws the rock through his arm. He's like, my arm came off. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of that. Oh, so yeah, so I guess... Just to bring back to X-Men 97, I mean, we get to see Master Mold actually, you know, accomplish some shit in this one. You know, he gets some of the jobs done, like, basically commits a genocide in Genosha, the aforementioned Genosha. He's like, I come back to take my island. It was so good. It's just seeing them all, like, with that 90s thing, they brought back as many of the voices as they could. I like the voice cast that they've got. I realize they couldn't, they, like, a lot of the people who did, you know, the voice cast in the original run have passed on, so that, you know, presents a problem. RIP to those who are no longer with us. But, you know, I like the voice actors that they've got going in this one so far. You know, Jennifer Hale's in there doing all the genes, which that was funny. At the end of the second episode when, you know, they're like, oh my God, it's the second gene. And then she immediately passes out. I was like, well, that's clearly the real gene because she passed out immediately. Right? I remember thinking that to myself. That gene just fainted. That means she's absolutely the real one. I haven't seen that other one faint yet.
Like the slightest thing. Did she like moan, a cry, and fall asleep? And
yeah, that's absolutely her. Right? That was just, man, they had her do that so much in the original run. There are a lot of things that were funny where you, if you do watch the original run, and you probably noticed this because you probably ripped through it. If you, they go to the well on a lot of things in the original 92 run, because they never knew we were just going to watch these things incessantly over and over again, right? Like, basically any time they needed to nerf Storm, they're like, oh, let's drop a big pile of rocks on her and have a, like,
and then she immediately just freaks out.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, I'm claustrophobic. He's like, claustrophobia, my one weakness. And I'm like, yes, that makes sense and is good. But, like, because, like, they paint themselves into the corner where they're like, ah, damn, we've got the weather goddess here who can easily end this situation in 2 seconds. What do we do? Hide her under a pile of rubble, right? So they go, yeah, they take her
down. The other one is Rogue, right? Where it's like, okay, let's, one of the strongest people on the planet. Like, she's another, essentially, Omega-level mutant.
Yeah.
How are we going to get her out of this fight? Well, she touches the guy, and then she has too many feelings, and
so it backfires. So I guess, you know, she's no longer there. Yeah. Oh man. It's been good. It's been really, really good. I mean, we should probably get into some of these individual characters, and before we do, the restraint that they had to have in this one, in X-Men 97, to not give us basically any Wolverine whatsoever, Leepak. Like, this show is, like, it's almost sans Wolverine. Like, they never, like the guy who's the most popular X-Men, who in the Fox movies, for better or for worse, were like, okay, he's clearly the, you know, like, Wolverine's clearly the most popular of these characters. Let's run our entire movie franchise through Hugh Jackman, which, you know,
having three standalone movies.
Yeah, I think he got two or three, and again, for better or for worse, with some of those.
He had Origins.
Yes, which is bad. And he very had bad.
Wolverine, which I actually just watched for the first time yesterday.
Yeah,
also and, not good. And then he had Logan.
Yeah,
fucking fantastic.
Yeah, Logan. Yeah, Logan was fucking. Wow, that was a chef's kiss one. I didn't mind the Wolverine as much as most. I thought that was decent. But the problem was they'd had so many misses in a row with the Fox movies that nobody was even willing to accept the Wolverine, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I watched it for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, right? So maybe I go back and maybe I'll revisit the Wolverine and see if it's, because I've only watched it once, to be honest, and it's, you know, fine. I was like, yeah, fine, you know, there's some good stuff. Saw Silver Samurai, that was pretty cool, right? Like, so more of X-Men 97. They've been bringing the heat.
The way that they've set up the episodes has been really good. Like, the first one, rewatching it, just felt I was right back in the 90s, like, watching the original series. It was just, like, a cleaned-up, kind of fleshed-out version of it. The team actually fought as a team, which is pretty crazy. Like, you know, you have, like, Master Mold gets taken out by, you know, Wolverine and Gambit, and Gambit powers up his Wolverine's claws and he jumps through his neck, and I'm like, that's awesome! Like, that is so, like, peak, like, what they would do in the 90s kind of stuff, but, like, a better version of it, and it was just so well put together, and it just slotted me right back in there, and then it just gets better from there, because then they, like, ease you into that the show isn't messing around, Like episode two, you have all the political stuff where Magneto just takes the UN and brings them into space.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. That was really, really
rare
good.
A rare moment of X-Men going into space and it actually being extremely entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and then it just goes kind of off the rails a little bit, but in the best way, where, like, episode three have the whole Jean thing, and, that nightmare scenario is just, like, straight up out of Miyazaki. Like, they went, that's when they were like, oh, no, we can do some really new things with the animation here. And, like, the crazy nightmare stuff, like, when, Gambit walks into the one room, and Magneto and Rogue are just melting into each other, and he's, mm-hmm. he's just like, Gambit ain't ever gonna unsee that. Like, it's, you know, you get that, like, and it just gets, like, I feel like it gets better every episode, like, because then episode four, you've got the two halves, right? So the first half was Motendo.
Yeah, did that one hit? Did that one hit for you? I liked, because I liked it. Like, Abyssica was there. Like, they did the future Abyssica version of Jubilee, which was kind of cool. But I gotta say, of the voices that we've had, the only one I could not get, the only one I got a little snooty about. The guy, whoever did the voice of Mojo in the original 90s run, was a voice that is so good that it has ruined all other people attempting to voice that character for me ever again. Right?
They tried to fix it by making him weaker in the show.
Yeah.
So he wasn't as, like, so that we wouldn't miss his amazing voice.
Yeah.
And that was a character that I remember watching it in the original run. I was like, God, I hate this guy. Mojo disgusts me. And then rewatching it, I was like, he is my favorite character.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the, because you just, because
so good.
Yeah, you didn't get, and also you didn't, that's one of those characters that it's tough to get as, you know, when you're 7, 8 years old, because you're like, oh, I get it. This guy's like sort of he's like a sleazy TV producer or whatever, I guess, but not knowing like how reflective that, knowing what we now know. I mean, this is we're recording this in a week where Harvey Weinstein was just released from prison, right? So, like,
he was released, but he's moving to a different one.
True, fair, but you know what I mean, right? Like, he had charges dropped that it was like, is, and I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but I'm just saying, but like, just that, that voice actor doing that original thing where he's like, long shot, honey, cookie baby, sweetheart, you gotta give me something, right? You know, just doing all that type, and he had a great line read in like one of his other appearances where he's like, this is terrible. All this death, all this destruction, all this chaos, and not a single camera recording or something like that. And it was just like, oh my God. Yeah, that was the only character who I was like, I just, and I'm not saying the guy who did it in the Motendo episode, which was a lot of fun. I'm not saying he did like a garbage job or anything, because that's far from the case. It's just that first voice was so.
Yeah, you were working against the original, like,
yeah.
It was just incredible that you can't do it. But I mean, the fact that they, like, the other sound, like the sound effects for the video game and the look of the video game they were playing, I was like, I played that game.
Yeah, make it look like the old Sega. Yeah, the old Sega X-Men game. Yeah, fucking brilliant.
Oh my God, I was like, I loved that episode. It was so fun just because of the. You know, because of the nostalgia and just how they nailed it. And then they did the other half episode, which was just introducing episode six.
Yeah, the first half of Life Death, yeah, which was, yeah, which is really good. But, I mean, they've been hitting all the good, like, all the, like, iconic covers and stuff, like the one where Gambit has that one hallucination of Rogue and, like, the Savage Land outfit, you know, holding on to Magneto. That's a pretty famous cover, because, you know, what happens in the Savage Land stays in the Savage Land, Levi. Those ones, obviously the Madeline Pryor being the actual mother of Nathaniel Summers / Cable, and not Jean Grey, that was, you know, that was something where I'm like, oh, we're doing this, right, sort of a thing. That was really good. Storm losing her powers, obviously, that happened. The only thing that stinks about that is we didn't get to see the part where her, like, because one of the, like, Actually, I'm not going to say one of. I'm going to say the greatest moment in the history of the X-Men comics, to me, is when depowered Storm, like 90s Mohawk Storm, depowered, kicks the shit out of Cyclops, right? And starts taking the, like, she just beats the shit out of him and then takes, and, like, I'm not necessarily a Cyclops guy. I enjoy this version of Cyclops, this 97 version of Cyclops a hell of a lot better than most versions. But, like, yeah, just, I was like, oh my god, is she gonna beat the shit out of Cyclops in this? And they haven't given us that part. They never gave us that part, so I was a little disappointed, but that's me as a hardcore fanboy being like, oh my god, am I gonna get my favorite moment? And then, but it just wouldn't have made sense the way they're writing the show. It would not have made sense for them to do that.
Yeah,
so
I can't fit everything in.
But yeah, exactly. You gotta leave some things away, right?
We gotta talk about the big thing, though, right? Episode 5.
Yeah, Gambit.
Future Extinction.
Oh my god, that was like 35 minutes of pure bliss. Because right? that's probably, yeah.
Beginning. And what's so I was... Like, I binged a lot of this, so I put it off for a little while because I wanted to finish the original X-Men series, and eventually I was just like, ah, you know what, I'm just going to go through it. So that was the last episode. I started watching it essentially after that one aired. I went through all of them, and I was like, man, this show goes hard and fast. Like, everything is just going so, so quickly. I got to that episode, they get to Genosha, and everything's so nice and peaceful. I actually said to myself, maybe we'll get a nice little side episode. Like thinking like Avatar Tales of Ba Sing Se, something like that. Like, you know, maybe they'll slow down a little bit and we'll get some nice little side tales in Genosha, and you know, we'll take a little bit of time. Nope.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no. Gambit and Rogue have their whole conversation where you're like, holy crap on a cracker, that was a little more emotional than I was ready for. And then there's all the there's the political strife. And although
I was like, are Magneto and Rogue fucking? Like, this is
they sure were. But like, also, like, to have that conversation with Gambit, and then seemingly 5 minutes later, do the air floaty dance with Magneto in front of him. Yeah. Rogue was fucking out of pocket for that, right? Like, that was like, what are you doing? Right? Yeah, and like, good for Gambit. He didn't say nothing. He didn't overreact. He just smoothed back and was like, "All right, I'm gonna just leave," right? Like, it was just like,
he kind of got like a hint for a second. He was like,
yeah,
Madeline will bang me right now.
Maybe. He was like, I'm going to make it. He's like, I could make a scene, but I'm not going to make a scene. Right? You know, like, it was so good. And then and then the fight. Because, like, some of the, you can tell, like, because the animation in this one, it's a little clunky at times. Like, there's some weird, like, did you watch Invincible at all on Prime?
Oh, yeah.
Are you all caught up? Here's the thing. I was never big into the Invincible comic books, and I tried to watch the show, and I was just like, it's just not for me. That's it. And other people love it, and that's fine. Invincible is just, it's not for Matt Pearce personally. I don't take anything away. The only thing that when I watched like the first half of the first season, I was like, what is up with these PlayStation 2 ass graphic or ass animation they have on that show for whatever reason, which is why I don't get why that show keeps getting delayed and delayed. I'm like, how does it keep getting delayed? The animation isn't even good on that show, right? It's so weird. So there's a couple of scenes where they do that, but during the fight scenes, you could tell where they really put their money towards the animation, because it all of a sudden goes full anime. A lot of the times when they're fighting and everything looks crisp and they're whooshing around, just, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it without just going, and then they do this, and then they do that, and then snick, 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 you know, right? Because like, that's basically,
Slick. I mean, they put their money where they need to, and that's where they needed to go, is when they're trying to take out, like, some giant freaking monster sentinel. And yeah, it does get pretty anime-y, but in a good way.
Yeah,
that's the same thing with like episode 3. Like, everything's kind of really clunky until there's the nightmare scenario, and then everything is so slick, and like the FPS goes up.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it for sure.
180 or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, now we can actually, yeah, okay, yeah, there, here we go. Like, it's...
yeah. But yeah, the Gambit when he, you know, yeah, when he does the thing where he's like, and then like, which was something he said, in the, like he says the line where he goes, "The name's Remy LeBeau, remember it?" Before he blows himself up to take out the super master, like the super sentinel master mold that was there.
Yeah.
And like he said that in like the first episode, or I think of the original run, that was like a big line that he said before he blew.
Well, yeah, my name's Gambit. Remember it? That's like,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting because it's like, I've always like read about how Gambit is essentially potentially an Omega level mutant because of his, like, if he really uses his powers like to the full extent,
yeah,
he could do some serious damage. And then when that happened, as soon as he got skewered, and
yeah,
I was like, just like my heart.
I'm like, oh.
I was like, oh. Oh, this is gonna go down. And
oh, he's gonna do it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really good. But it was still heartbreaking. But you know, he's an X-Men, so he'll be back. Maybe not till next season, but yeah, he will be back.
It's more of a how is he gonna come back though? That's kind of the most interesting thing because
true. Yeah.
Like obviously they could just do classic 92 time travel shenanigans.
Yeah.
But it's also possible that he gets resurrected by Apocalypse and becomes his Horseman of Death.
Yeah, could be that too. There's tons of things. Yeah, because we haven't hit Apocalypse yet, which I don't think we're getting. Maybe we get a tease for Apocalypse at the end of episode 10 or something, because Bastion showed up at the end of the last episode, and oh, I'm like, oh, Bastion's going to be the baddie for the last few episodes of the series this season, is he? Woo, that's fun. Yeah, so they're really hitting all that. Like you saw all that, like all yeah, I don't know. Like they're just they really have done a great job. It looks brilliant. It looks great. Gets me hyped. The voice acting's good. The stories, they're going through all of the nostalgia stuff. They're hitting all the really good, you know, Claremont and Grant Morrison stuff. It's just been so good. Like, I seriously can't believe they did Life Death, for God's sake. When they got, because, like, when the guy hit, when, what was it, Executioner hit her with the depowering mutant ray. Like, once he said depowering mutant ray, I was like, oh my god, are we gonna do Life Death with Storm? Because, like, is she gonna get blasted? And then she did, and I was like, there it is! Right? It was just crazy. And then I saw that one episode was called Life Death, right, on Disney Plus. I'm like, well, here we go! Do you like the week-to-week release? Although you said you binged it, so I guess, do you still prefer the binge model these days, Mike?
Sometimes I'm like, yeah, this works as a week to week thing. And for this, it does. It gives me something to look forward to. Like,
yes,
it's not like hurting me to not be able to watch it at once. A show that I got frustrated with it coming out week to week was Shogun.
Okay. Well, I've been saving that like a fine wine, so I am going to binge that.
It is all out, and yeah, I would recommend. Yeah, it would be, I almost wish I had waited on it, because there were times where I was just like, I really, really just want to watch the next one. And I
just, yeah.
Like, it was just really pissing me off. X-Men is like, it's working for me a little. Like, obviously I'd like my own freedom of being able to watch it when I want to. And I probably would just pound through the rest of it if it was available, but you know, I'll wait. It's okay. Whatever they want.
Yeah. I for sure would. This model's working for me. The week to week release of like getting a half hour every week. This absolutely works for me. And, you know, there's certain shows where I'm like, I mean, Netflix is so abhorrent to their, like they're so unwilling to just get away from their binge model just because of, you know, whatever their analytics happen to say. Like, there's certain shows where I'm like, okay, you can just kind of give this to me now. Like, I watched Fallout, and I won't spoil Fallout. I rather like Fallout. I didn't play any of the video games, so to me, this was just like a show that I was watching.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I watched it and hadn't played any of the video games.
And it was good. I liked it. And I liked that I could go in from, you know, episode to episode. And we don't need to, you know, get into Fallout or spoil it. But I basically was like, I was like, all right, let me give Fallout a shot. And I liked the first episode. I'm like, let me watch the second one. And then I'm like, okay, that's good. But it's like, you know, late at night, I would love to go into the second one, but I don't need to, right? You know, sort of a thing. So I sort of spaced it out over the course of the 8 episodes they gave you over a couple of weeks, because it was a good show, but I didn't, you know, need to. Except one of the episodes had a cliffhanger where I was like, okay, gotta go into the next one, right? Where it was like, but yeah, this one I really like. I don't know. I think with the other shows too, I think I really like the week to week model as opposed to just the, you know, the Netflix binge model of just farting out every episode at once. I like that Prime does the thing sometimes where, like, they do it with The Boys where they're like, okay, this is going to be an 8-episode season. Here's the first 3. And then after that, you got to go week to week. So I kind of, yeah.
They did that with Invincible season 2, actually. It was the first 4 episodes were released, like, a while ago, and then they did the last 4 a month ago or something like that.
Yeah, and I've heard people were less thrilled about that, or at least that was the buzz I kind of saw on social media.
It was just really annoying because it was like you just get into it and then it stops and you're like, oh, okay, and then you get the next 4 episodes and then again you're just getting into it and then it just ends and I'm like, where's the next step? Oh, was that was the finale? Oh, that. Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah,
been 2 years for more.
Yeah, that's what people were saying, right? It was, oh yeah, it was somewhere. Yeah, like, man, they really brought out a bunch of, they brought out the villains in this one too. Like, Sinister's back, and they actually let him do stuff in this one, because Sinister kind of, I think, Mr. Sinister is one of the best villains in the comic books. He is one of the best villains Marvel has on their roster. But in the original, if you just watch the animated run, he kind of doesn't do anything. He's just like, now he is obsessed with this in the comic book. Like, I mean, this is the same in the comic book, but he's just obsessed with Jean and Scott and trying to kidnap them and recreate their DNA, which, yes, that's ripped straight from the headlines. But that's all he does in in the original 92 run. And then anytime they basically get close to him, Cyclops just laser beams him, or optic beams him, I should say. I don't want to upset any hardcore nerds out there.
That's actually pretty funny, is that...
And that's like it, right? That's it for Sinister, yeah.
Like, a big difference between Cyclops in, like, you know, the 92 and 97 run and, like, you know, movie Cyclops, which is what we mostly
have
at this point. Movie Cyclops is so annoying. Like,
They did Marsden dirty in the Fox universe.
Then you get original Cyclops, who is like, oh... Sinister, you know, kidnaps him, and as soon as he's let off the leash, he just vaporizes him.
Yeah.
It turns him into dust. And then Jean is like, well, it'll take him a little while to regenerate from that. And Cyclops looks over, and you get this hint that he's going to say, I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, this. Okay. Mr. Sinister is a guy who. Like, one time in the comic, because, like, literally his whole thing in the 92 series, in this one it's a little bit better because he's a little more shadowy and he's doing stuff and he's working with Bastion. But, yeah, in the original 92 run, it's literally like, here's my plan. I'm going to steal, you know, here's my insanely elaborate brain from Pinky and the Brain-esque plan, where it's like, can't see the forest for the trees, that where the end result is I'll be able to steal the DNA of Jean Grey and Scott Summers and create the ultimate mutant bloodline, right? But right before I do that, my pack of fools, who I can't remember the name of their, his band. It's something adjacent to that.
Yeah, it's something really cheesy.
Yeah, it's, I'll see if I can find it in a second. It's close to the Nasty Boys. Yeah. The Nasty Boys, yeah. The Nasty Boys. Yeah, his pack of fools, the Nasty Boys, can't quite hold down the thing, and then Scott just lasers them, and that's it, and then he just goes, Ruckus, get me out of here! And then Ruckus is somehow always able to get him out of there, right? But, like, Mr. Sinister of the comic books has always done supremely evil and sometimes just absolutely cool shit. Like, one of the coolest things that he ever did in the comic books was he shrunk Juggernaut down to the size of a bullet, put Juggernaut in a gun, and then used him to blow Thanos' head off. in the comic books. Like, now that is some legendary shit, right? He's like, I shoved Juggernaut, I put him in a gun, and I blew the Mad Titan's brains out of the back of his head, right, with Juggernaut. Like, Juggernaut was like, whoa, where am I going? Ah, right? Like, that is something that happened in the comic books, and it's like, come on, let's see some cool stuff like that. But yeah, you know, you're getting a lot of the, like, fun. Like, Bastion just showed up, like we said. Gyrick and Bolivar Trask was back. The Friends of Humanity, those scumbags, were back, which led to, you know, Executioner in the first episode. And, you know, we got the one appearance from Mojo that we talked about. Master Mold's been all over this series.
And Trask being back had that amazing moment of Rogue just being like, ah, fuck it, and just dropping him off the side.
Yeah, that was... They didn't really talk about that. Maybe they'll get into that in the next episode, but they were like, yeah, you kind of just did a murder there, yeah. Right? You know, like, I know that guy's a piece of shit, but, like, that was greasy, right? Like, yeah, yeah, they did hit Thunderbolt, but, like, Thunderbolt Ross and Captain America showed up, and, like, Rogue was like, you won't be needing this, right?
Like, right? I've never been a Captain America fan, and just seeing her just, like, being yeah. Like, yeah, it's gone. Go find it. Go fetch.
Yeah, Captain America, yeah, I've never been a big, yeah, because obviously, you know, like, the Stars and Stripes is, you know, not as highly regarded up here or in, you know, society like it once was.
I'm all Team Iron Man.
Yeah, me too. But, like, yeah, I mean, the movie version of Captain America, I think, is probably... you could make an argument that the Chris Evans Captain America version is, like the MCU version is probably the best version of that character. Because in the comic books, he's kind of just a cop, right? And you're like, oh. You know? Especially with the way the world kind of is now and stuff that's happened over the last few years, you're like...
Yeah, he's like one of those guys you just know is going to call everyone citizen.
Yeah, it's like, you don't need this, right? But, like, yeah. But, you know, Cap usually comes through in the end, right? With the right... Usually with the right stuff. But that was a really funny moment where she, like, called him, you know, you're, like, the world's biggest cop, and then chucked his shield, like, like a county away, and he just kind of like, well, guess I, best I guess to get, you know, and, like, basically just goes like, I best get to walking, I guess. get my shield back. Ah. God, it's just been showing. I'm just trying to remember, like, a lot of the cool stuff. Oh, like, the friggin'... The adversary showed up, that, like, owl raven demon, the bird demon thing that was, like, Torment and Storm. A lot of that stuff was really cool. Friggin' Ronan the Accuser was in one episode, and Gladiator and Deathbird beat the hell out of him, right?
Yeah, that's right. Ronan shows up, and they're just, yeah. Like, you know, essentially genociding him. Just
yeah, Ronan and Deathbird just kicked the hell out of him. It's a really good one. Professor X is back. We don't exactly know how or why, but we're like, sure, happy to have you back.
Yeah, well, honestly, so as rewatching the series, I'm like, oh, that's it, legit what happens at the end, is he's dying.
Yeah.
And they call and that... Lilandra, and they're like, yo, come fix him. And she comes in, she's like, okay, I can fix him, but you're never going to see him again. Like, I'm taking him back to the Shi'ar Empire. And you know that she's thinking, I could fix him in, like, a minute, but I kind of want him to be mine, so I'm
just going
to
come back. Yeah. And, so he was up there, and that's in that weird... I haven't got to it yet, because, like I said, I'm in the Dark Phoenix saga, but I remember... the final season of the X-Men animated series, like the season 5 that they did, where I'm pretty sure they cut the budget of the show in half because they outsourced the animation to overseas. Because I remember, you've watched it more recently than me, I remember the 5th season, the animation being like hot garbage in the original run. The
5th season, there's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's because they were pulling the plug on the show, right? So you get 10 episodes of badly animated television. I remember there was one kind of dope episode where, you know, after we were just bagging on Captain America, I remember there was one fun one, though, where Wolverine has a flashback to being in World War II and fighting the Red Skull with Captain America. That was kind of fun.
Oh,
right?
That was probably the
best episode of the last season.
The other fun flashback one is the origin of Sinister.
Yes, where
turns out that he's been working with Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, or he was Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, basically.
I was Jack the Ripper. I've never told anyone that.
And he's just, like, yelling. What I think it was is that he is Jack the Ripper, or he was working with him, because at some point he's yelling at a guy who's like, I want to keep one alive.
Yeah, you're right. He was. Yeah, I think you're right. He was working with Jack the Ripper. Again, a reference you wouldn't get as a 7-year-old. I still love that bit from. I still love that bit from What We Do in the Shadows. I was Jack the Ripper. I haven't told anyone that. that's a great bit. Man, I can't say enough about this show. It's been so good. It's been hitting all the right buttons, touching all, we still got Cable to look forward to. These last three episodes, we'll have to get you back on to talk about, to see if they stick the landing in these last three.
Yeah, it was really great seeing Cable show up just enough time to say goodbye to his mom right before she got vaporized.
Yeah, and that was kind of cool when... they were like, oh, Emma Frost is still alive, and she's managed to tap into her diamond, mutation power. Yeah, that was super cool, I thought. Anything else you want to mention about this show, or anything you want to bring up? Anything you didn't like, or anything you did like that you want to touch on?
No, overall, I think, it's just been so good, and, like, the pacing can feel a little fast at times, and I wanted to slow down a little bit, but that's, I think that was episode 4, was, like, where he just, like, oh, let's just have, like, a complete side thing where Jubilee goes and gets sucked into a video game. Like, that was a really nice little, like... pace kind of slower, and now I think it's just going to be complete balls out to the end, because we've got Bastion, who's the half Master Mold, half Nimrod.
Depending on who's telling the story, there's also some, like, you know, there's some human DNA and stuff in there, but basically he's the greatest sentinel that's ever existed, right? Because he can also adapt and think like a human and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the next one, because, I mean, seeing, his first version of the new Sentinels, like the Prime Sentinels, as Trask, like, grabs and his face, and Cyclops beams him, like, at point-blank range, and he's just nothing. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay, now we're in real serious territory.
and they had the OZT reference with the Operation Zero Tolerance, and the weird scene at the end where he's, like, shaving Magneto, and it's like, this is creepy. this is like some Seven stuff right here, right?
Like, yeah, right. Reservoir Dogs.
There was that going on. That was really good. And they got to, I should say. One of the things they weren't quite able to do in the movies, because you don't have time to stretch your legs on this in the movies, if we're really being, they got to it a little bit with, like, Anna Paquin, and it's like, can I have a boyfriend? Probably not, and, like, and they tried to do the love triangle of Wolverine and Cyclops and Jean in the Fox. And they kind of didn't get there with it, even though they went for it. But, like, the thing that makes the X-Men that they were able to do in the comic book so well, and in this show and the original run, is you can really get into the fact that at its core, the X-Men are a soap opera, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, oh, man, these guys are doing this, and they're basically, they're all living in the same place, and then... who are they sleeping with this week, right? it's got that, like, soap opera element that really puts that kind of separates it from some of the other comic books, where it's like any given comic book, you pick it up each week and it's like, oh my god, who's Jean sleeping with this week, or who's Cyclops sleeping with this week, sort of a thing, right? So you get that. You get that sort of, like, I just want to watch rich people be naughty,
On that note, actually, one thing that it's not stuck with me so far is I'm not a fan of Roberto.
Yeah, Sunspot? Yeah, he feels a little shoehorned in, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I guess we should have mentioned him, yeah. Although, his best scene came in the last episode when he finally tells his mom, and his mom, pours the wine and then was basically gives him the, well, duh, yeah. You know, right? Like,
I always thought you were gay. I mean,
but, yeah, yeah, but then hits him with the, like, yeah, but then hits him with the, yeah, now we got to keep this under wraps because, you know, our shareholders won't. And that's when, like, when she's originally, and you're like, oh, it's very supportive, you know, oh, she's a very supportive mother. And then the switch flips. Where she's like, all right, now we got to make sure we protect our money on the back end, right? And I'm just like, oh, right? Ooh.
Yeah, that is definitely the most impactful part. But, I mean, yeah. He's a new character, and you kind of think he's going to be, like...
Yeah.
Like, play more of a part. And I'm not saying that he should be in more, because I'm not a big fan. But, I mean, at least...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just like, meh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the last episode had so many great moments, like, because it had the introduction of Bastion, which was creepy. It had that scene that we just talked about, which gave Sunspot his best moment. But it also had the scene where Beast is talking to Dr. Cooper about, like, the... Or was it Dr. Cooper? Or I can't remember if it was Dr. Cooper or the reporter, but, like, it's clear that they'd been hitting it off, and then... You know, he hits her with the one line where it's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not tolerant enough for you or something like that. Yeah. And it's
right? Yeah. Another great moment of obviously the best episode of the whole friggin' thing, episode 5, when Cyclops is being interviewed by the
that woman, reporter, yeah.
And then he's all like, you know, she's like, oh, I just want to show you that you're just like us. He's like, well, I'm not, thank God, because if I was just like you, a normal person, you'd all, you know, it's the only reason you're still alive.
that was some good stuff. It's been great. They've hit all the soap operas. They've hit all it's been great. Fucking, like, 12 out of 10 for me so far on X-Men 97. I absolutely love this. Absolutely love it. Anything else you want to say before I want to play a fun little game with you, Leapok? That could be a fun new segment that we have whenever you come on for this show.
I have nothing to add other than when you're done this, I'm probably going to go watch another episode.
Yeah, I might continue my rewatch. Go give that Dark Phoenix a show. Just stay in that X-Men animated world right now.
Yeah.
I might even move on. I wonder, are the other X-Men animated, like, or were they owned by, like, different? Maybe they're not owned by Disney. I don't know, but, like, the because there was the X-Men animated show that harped off the movies, right? Where that harped off the Fox movies. I think was it called, like, Wolverine and the X-Men, or was it called, like, X-Men Next Generation or something? I don't remember. But it had, like, you know, Rogue, and she had the where she was like emo Anna Paquin Rogue from
like the first two X-Men.
Yeah, from the first two X-Men, and, like, yeah, and Magneto had, like, the Brotherhood, where he basically had the Toad and the fat guy. I'll see if I can find that one, too. I'll give that one a rewatch, because that's a different generation. I was very snooty about not watching that, because I was like, this isn't my X-Men, but that's the sort of thing you say when you're 15 years old. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you're too far up your own ass to give anything else a shot, right?
Yeah, I'm 15. I'm only going to watch the X-Men that I watched when I was 12.
Exactly, right? Like, so dumb, right? So dumb. But that's the sort of thing you do when you're a shithead teenager. Official rating... By for Mike Leapock.
Oh, 10 out of 10.
It's got 10 out of 10.
It's so good.
Awesome. All right, so crossover podcast, officially loving X-Men 97. Now, I thought of this joke a couple of days ago, so in a way, I'm kind of glad that we kept getting delayed, unfortunately, Mike, I've been really getting back into the wrestling. Recently, I've been watching it with Mac. WrestleMania was just really, really good. And WrestleMania is always—if you think of wrestling as a television show, wrestling it is a television show. But if you think of it as, like, a season of television, WrestleMania is always, like, kind of the season finale. So we're in that area of wrestling right now where they're kind of, you know, rebooting the stories and stuff after WrestleMania is over. You are not someone who watches wrestling. Correct. Which is great for this exercise that we're going to do. because I've noticed recently that a lot of the current wrestlers that we have names that are indistinguishable from adult film stars, Mike Leapock. Okay. So you and I are going to play a little game called Wrestler or Adult Film Star.
Alright.
So, I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to play it honest. No Googling anything. Especially because you're on your wife's computer, yeah. So you don't want to get caught. Yeah, so right. I'm gonna give you. I think I got about ten or eleven names here. I'm gonna give them to you, and you're just gonna simply tell me if you think that they're a wrestler or an adult film star.
Alrighty.
All right, and here, let me get my pen so I can keep track. I think I got. Let me count them up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh wow, 10. All right. So because I didn't want, because I figured this is something we can do for you know, pretty much every time you come on potentially. Yeah. So I didn't want to just be like, here's 40 and let's like run this into the ground, right? Like no. So here's 10 and let's see how you do. First up, Kiana James. Mike Leopold.
Kiana James. I'm going to go porn star.
Okay. What's the logic? Just walk me through your reasoning on that one.
Just shooting
from the hip.
Almost like a real name. Like you've got Keanu, which is kind of like Keanu, and then mm-hmm. James is just kind of like a generic like last name kind of thing. It doesn't seem quite as showy enough to be a wrestler. Okay. Like I'd rather be a little more exciting, but definitely something that you could see on a videotape and be like, oh yeah, I know them.
Okay. Kiana James is in fact a wrestler. So 0-1 so far. Kiana James is a wrestler. She's on NXT for the WWE. All right. Name number two. Electra Lopez.
You know what? Sounds like a porn star to me.
You lock it in porn star?
We'll try that, yeah.
Okay. Electra Lopez is a wrestler! she is on SmackDown in the WWE. She wrestles on Fridays, I believe. Okay. Austin Theory.
Let's go wrestler.
Correct! Alright, you got one in the book. Austin Theory is indeed a wrestler. He is currently one half of the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Jack Perry.
I'm gonna go porn star.
Jack Perry is a wrestler, Mike Leapock. Not only is Jack Perry a wrestler, he is Luke Perry's son.
Really?
Yep, he's Luke Perry's son. Luke Perry's son grew up to be a wrestler. He currently wrestles for AEW. All right, so you're 1-4. This is a fun game. You having fun? No, just because of the wrongs? Or This is fun. This is so good. These are indistinguishable. I swear to God, these are indistinguishable.
Yeah, honestly, everyone, I'm like, I have no idea.
All right. Sophia Rose.
Sophia Rose. It's like, would you do that many wrestlers right off the bat when you're choosing this?
Yeah, see, now, yeah. I'm already inside your head, Mike.
I'm going to go porn star again.
Correct! Sophia Rose is indeed an adult film star. Trick Williams.
That's gotta be a wrestler, right?
Correct! Yeah. Trick Williams.
I don't think Trick would be a very good adult film star name.
Fair enough, yeah. How did you say it out loud? Yeah, that's not a, yeah. Yeah, that implies non-consent, doesn't it? So that's, now that you say that out loud, I did not factor that in. I just thought that it kind of sounded like it could be pornography adjacent. Oh, Mike, if you get that, if you know, you know. Yeah, Trick Williams, current, just won, as of like a few days ago on last Tuesday, won the, he defeated Ilya Dragunov to become the NXT heavyweight champion. So good for Trick Williams. One of the best theme songs going right now. Abella Danger.
That's gotta be... Oh, boy. I'm going to go wrestler.
Abella Danger is a adult film star. So you are 3-3. Three for seven. I got three left here. This is pretty good. This is pretty, I think pick some good ones. This is a good one. I like this segment. I think we can keep doing those, Mike.
There's enough wrestlers and metal film stars out there.
Yeah, there sure are. I'm not gonna like the well is plentiful. Rico Strong.
Strong. That could be.
I like that you're giving enough time for the people to play along at home too.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's got to be. I'm gonna go porn star.
That is correct. Rico Strong is indeed an adult film star. All right, let's see if you can get this last two and get over 500 for this. The Machine Gun Carl Anderson. The Machine Gun Carl Anderson.
Oh boy, I hope that's a wrestler.
That is indeed a wrestler. I thought maybe the Machine Gun was like, you know, like implied something, you know, that maybe that one would trick you up. Because I didn't want to go with just Carl Anderson, because I thought that's too generic sounding,
yeah,
so I don't know.
Just like a guy's name.
Yeah, true, right? Yeah, it's not really, yeah, so I kind of needed to throw in the machine gun part. All right, last one. Mike's 5 for 9 right now, trying to go 6 for 10. Jade Cargill.
I'm going to go wrestler.
Correct! Jade Cargill is indeed a wrestler. Not only is Jade Cargill a wrestler, you should Google this girl, because like this brings me back to that. Like, allow me to bring it full circle. This woman looks like Storm in real life.
Oh, really?
Like, she looks like Storm. I think, in fact, she used to wrestle with AEW. She's now on the WWE, and she's about to be like a super duper star in this business, in the wrestling business, Mike. I'm pretty sure she dressed up as Storm one time to wrestle, or a Storm, a Jade's costume. The original, like the black and one with the gold trim.
Okay.
That Storm wears.
Legally distinct from the Storm costume.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think when it's wrestling, you can do it like beat for beat, as long as you don't put the name, like as long as she doesn't write Storm across it or whatever, right? Like you can do it because it, like, wrestling, I think, always in generally falls in the realm of parody, but like. Yeah, if you Google Jade Cargill, she looks like Storm leapt off the page. Like, it's crazy. So, thus concludes Mike Lee Puck. Good job. 6 for 10 on the first round of wrestler or adult film star. I'm definitely gonna do this again. Now, don't you go watching wrestling now, so that you can start playing. As much as I love wrestling, and to quote another podcast, I love wrestling and I think it's great. I don't want this game ruined. Because Mike all of a sudden just knows everybody. Mike goes the other way. I know. I'll just watch all the porn. I memorize all the porn names. Yeah, it's brilliant. There's simply too many. Actors and actresses in that regard, yeah. Too. I gotta say, it's a bit dodgier looking up. I'm like, okay, I gotta throw a couple adult film star names in here. Bit dodgier trying to come up with a list of those names.
Yeah,
we gotta boot that up. All right, so fun, great first version of wrestler or adult film star. Great to have you back, Lee Puck. I've been saying for years that we gotta do the damn Batman Returns Christmas special. I really want to do that. We should book that for this summer or something, and then I'll just save it for Christmas time. Because everybody, we always get so damn busy at Christmas time. It's inevitable, right?
As soon as November hits, I have zero free time until
January. Yeah, exactly. It's the same for most people. So I got to record it in like August or something. Like, I got to pick a day and record it in August or something with you guys, and then we'll just hold it until it's Christmas and release it as our Christmas day. Because we do got to finish the commentary track for the original Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, the original 80s, 90s Batman quadrilogy that nearly ruined comic book movies forever after creating comic book movies for forever, basically. Yeah. Mike, great having you on this. Great playing wrestler or adult film star with you. And just great talking about one of the best shows, X-Men 97, that's going right now. So good. We'll have to get you back after we catch the last three.
As for this podcast, Crossover Podcast, we'll be crossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and iTunes. Please rate and subscribe, 5 stars only. We're also on Google Play and Spotify and pretty much any podcatcher that happens to be out there. And if you're not, hit us up at contact@thecrossoverpodcast.com and email us. Let us know what we're not on or any of the social medias that we happen to have. And let us know what podcast we're not on, and we'll make sure we get up on there for you. And as always, you do not have to listen, but please download the Crossover Podcast. I will likely be back either this week or the next to talk to Craig about what's going on, catch up in the world of sports, because we just had the NFL draft. The Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing. Baseball's going. So the NBA playoffs. So everything is happening for sports. So I got some hot takes I got to get off my chest. So I'll have Craig on probably sometime in the next week or two. Mike Leapock, great to have you back. It was way too long. Let's make sure it's not as long as it was between episodes this time. As for the rest of you, take care, everybody, and thanks for listening to the Crossover Podcast.